If you would look with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians, to chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2, and we want to begin our reading in verse 1. Brother Justice makes this sort of easy in a way. He assigns us a question. Is God through with Israel? Brother Royce could have just said no and sat down and been through. I could just say, will there be a literal Antichrist? I could say yes, and I've answered the question. But I suppose Brother Justice wants a little more than that. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. To begin this message, let me just say two things. It is impossible for me to read these verses that we have just read, verses 1 through verse 12, without being even more thankful for verse 13. The first 12 verses of this reading just magnifies in my mind verse 13, how we ought to be so thankful for divine election. If it were not for God's sovereign grace and divine election, we would be in the category of verse 11 and in verse 12, but I'm thankful to be in verse 13. Another thing I want to say at the outset of this message, anytime we study prophecy, we ought to always do it in a search for truth and not out of carnal curiosity. And I find that many times that many want to hear messages on prophecy And it's just out of idle curiosity. There's just something about prophecy that piques even the unbeliever's attention. And there's so many that are open and susceptible to mere speculation and the ideas of men. And it seems like the more absurd you might make prophecy, the more readily it will be accepted. But I think our goal ought to always be to know what does God say. Thus saith the Lord. What saith the Scripture? And it always ought to be our desire to know truth. And we ought to have enough good sense to know if what we read in the Scripture contradicts our preconceived idea, we had better get rid of that idea and stay with thus saith the Lord. There are several observations I want to make from this passage of Scripture that we have read. And the first one is in verse 2 and in verse 3. I believe there is a direct relationship between the revelation of the Antichrist and the return of the Lord. I see a direct relationship. The Bible says that that day shall not come except there come a falling away first and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I've run across many people over the years that want to make their boast that I'm looking for Christ and not the Antichrist. And they seem to have the idea that that makes them more righteous or more spiritual than those that want to look for the order of events to unfold as God says. I think we ought to look at what God says and notice the order that He has set and base it upon that instead of trying to exalt ourselves in some other way. Another thing I would like to point out to you is in verse 4 that Antichrist is also anti-God. You cannot be anti-Christ without being anti-God, no more than you can be anti-God without being anti-Christ. So we're dealing with one that opposes both Christ and God, but even more than the opposition, it is one that seeks to take the place of both Christ and God. He seeks to come in the stead or in the room of Christ, and certainly he does oppose everything that is of God. In verse 6, notice something else here, if you would, that there is a set time, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in His time. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. I believe in a predestinating God that has set things in order and on schedule, and they will unfold in their time. Then in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Let it be understood that being taken out of the way does not necessarily mean taken out of the world. For some reason, there are some that automatically will hold that the one that is letting or hindering is the Holy Spirit of God. This verse does not say that. That might be the case, but this verse does not say that. And it certainly does not say in this verse that the Holy Spirit or the church is going to be taken out of the world. You have to read that into it. You cannot get it from just reading the Word of God. It could be understood that the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, will come out of the midst. There are ways to look at this other than the Holy Spirit being taken out of the world. If anyone comes to verse 7 and sees the Holy Spirit being taken out of the world, and he is completely absent from the world, they have removed the omnipresence of the Holy Spirit of God. There's a great fault there, I would think. In verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." I just believe that God's "thens" mean something. As Brother Ross was reading a moment ago, he read the word "until" several times. That word "until" means something. Brother Dan spoke to us last night that words have meanings. And this "then" in verse 8 here, I think, is important. Then I look at verse 9. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Immediately in reading that verse, we know that the Antichrist is not Satan himself, but rather his coming, or his appearing, as we can view it, is after the working of Satan. Satan is the one that is behind this. He is the one that empowers this. He is the one that motivates this. And let me say here that Antichrist is not simply a system of evil. Antichrist is not simply a religious system, but rather Antichrist is a literal single individual. He will certainly head up a system of evil. He will even head a religious system. But Antichrist is a single individual who has not yet been revealed. Now, notice in the book of 1 John, if you would, in the book of 1 John and in chapter 2 and in verse 18, "Little children, it is the last time." That statement is important in itself. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. How do we know it is the last time? Because even now there are many Antichrists. And I'm going to deal with it a little bit later if I have time, but understand again that the Antichrist is not a system but an individual. And we read here that Antichrist shall come, referring to a single individual, but even now are there many Antichrists. In that mystery of iniquity that doth already work, and I personally view that phrase as a hidden conspiracy of lawlessness, it's already present and operating, and it's here among us. And if God's elect cannot see the mystery of iniquity working in our generation, you're just blind. It's here. There are many Antichrists already in the world, and in our country we can certainly see the working of many Antichrists in our world. But there is one that is yet to come that will be revealed in his time. And verse 18 says, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. That is a great announcement. Antichrist shall come. Now, in the scriptures, Antichrist is designated by many different names. And I want to give you some of them, and certainly not an exhaustive list. But we've already read, he is called the man of sin, the son of perdition, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 3. He is called that wicked or lawless one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 18. He is the beast of Revelation 11 and in verse 7. He is the bloody and deceitful man of Psalms chapter 5 and in verse 6. He is the wicked one of Psalms 10 verses 2 and 4. He is the man of the earth in Psalms 10 in verse 18. He is the mighty man of Psalms 52 and in verse 1. He is the enemy of Psalms 55 and in verse 3. He is the adversary of Psalm 74 verses 8 through 10. He is the violent man of Psalms 140 and in verse 1. He is the little horn of Daniel 7 and in verse 8. He is the prince that shall come in Daniel 9 and in verse 26. He is the vile person of Daniel 11 and verse 21. He is the king of Daniel 11 and verse 36. He is the idle shepherd of Zechariah 11, verse 16, and in verse 17. And if you would turn in your Bible to Genesis in chapter 3, he is the seed of the serpent. Again, Brother Cozart made some great illustrations last night about interpreting the scripture literally. And how inconsistent it is to be reading along and you be interpreting something as literal, and then in the same context, minds can just shift and say, well, this is no longer real, it's figurative. It does not make sense. I want you to notice Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I maintain that the seed of the woman is literal. The seed of the serpent must be literal also. You cannot have one being literal and the other not being literal. Brother Justice, the question is he literal? He is as literal as the seed of the woman. Must be by any honest interpretation of Genesis in chapter 3 and in verse 15. The seed of the woman is a man, the man Christ Jesus. The seed of the serpent is a man. It is the man of sin, the son of perdition. Back in our reading in 2 Thessalonians and in chapter 2. And in verse 3, Paul speaks about the revelation of the man of sin. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. One and only one of the reasons that I believe it is yet future is that he has not been revealed yet. Do you know who the Antichrist is or was? And can you prove it by thus saith the Lord and not by speculation? He has not been revealed as yet, but when he is revealed, God's elect will know who and what he is. And they will not worship him nor take his mark. I believe the Bible tells us that all that do so are going to be cast into the lake of fire. God's elect are not going to be deceived. There is going to be a revelation. And a revelation that comes from God is much better than speculation that comes from men. And we ought to be waiting for the revelation of the man of sin. And again, there's always been much speculation. I don't know how many times I've been asked over the years, who do you think the Antichrist is? Who do you think the two witnesses are? Who do you think this or that? And that's the wrong question to ask. Ask, does the Bible tell us who? Where in the Scripture can we find the answers? What I think and what these other preachers think does not amount to a hill of beans. It's what saith the Scriptures. And there are a lot of questions that we are asked from time to time that we don't have the answers for. Because God has not told us in His Word. But I think many preachers have the idea that they have to answer every question that is posed, or they're somehow going to lose esteem with people, and they are too prideful to say, I don't know. So they begin to come up with theories and all, and they lead people astray. I don't know how many people have told me over the years that they believe this and that just because Brother so-and-so taught it to them for years. Brother Justice made it plain at the beginning of this conference, anything that any of us preachers say, you need to go home and search the Scripture to see whether it's so or not. And don't take Brother so-and-so's word. Look for yourself, is it in the Word of God? And there are some things that we just do not know, if we're really honest. I think we ought to leave it there sometime. There are some people that speculate that the Antichrist is the Pope. Not any particular Pope, just the Pope, the office of papacy or whatever. Some say it's the Roman Catholic Church. And all of these things, well, the revelation has not come yet. So the speculation is useless and fruitless. We need to focus on what we can know, what we are told. Look in Daniel, if you would. I want to read back here. And I hope no one expected me to reveal this morning who the Antichrist was. Boy, are you going to be disappointed. I do believe there'll be a revelation one day. I do believe that God's elect will know it. And the Bible says that all the world wondered after the beast. There will be an exception. God's people will not. They will not. They will know what a blessing it is to be in that group. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now we're going to read a lot of verses here that I don't really have time to get into all of them, but this verse is important, I think, about the coming of the Antichrist, this vile person. At first, they shall not give the honor of the kingdom unto him, but he's going to come in peaceably. He's not going to come in like he's going to wind up being. He's going, you know, Israel has always been looking for a peacemaker, haven't they? They still are today. They're going to welcome one that can bring in peace. He's going to come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from above him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the appointed time. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. He shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant, so shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. The king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous thing against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. He shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. The Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with a great fury to destroy, and utterly to make away many. He shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. I read all of that because I think all of it is important. I don't have time to discuss all of it, but what a great outline here it is for the history of the Antichrist. And as you read this, let me go back and point this out. When you read and study about the career of the Antichrist and the things that are going to happen, never, never forget that God's still on his throne. And that God is in control. Notice, if you would, and you can go all the way back to verse 21, but look in verse 27, the last part of the verse. For yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Who do you think appointed that time? Verse 29, at the time appointed. The last part of verse 35, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. In verse 36, for that is determined shall be done. And then verse 45, yet he shall come to his end. That is appointed by God. Antichrist shall come, is the declaration of John. Antichrist is going to come. This vile person, the one who is before appointed of God, is going to come, but even he himself will have an appointed end. But during his time here, if you will look in Daniel in chapter 8, I want to mention three things about this Antichrist and his reign, his career that will be here up on the earth. He is going to control at least three different areas. He is going to control commerce. He's going to control the economics of the world. He is going to control military, and he's going to control government. In Daniel in chapter 8 and in verse 25, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft, and that word craft means fraud, if you want to look it up, to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by his peace shall he destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken in hand. Now, compare, if you would, look at Revelation in chapter 13. in Revelation and in chapter 13 and in verse 16, the Bible says He calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, again, God's elect are not going to take this. There will be a revelation for them. But that being the case, we're going to be considered as outlaws in this world. And we're not going to be able to buy or sell. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I own my own land, I'll stay on it, I'll raise my crops, I can live by myself. How are you going to pay your taxes? We're going to be outlaws under the reign of Antichrist. Revelation chapter 6, if you would look. In Revelation chapter 6 and in verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse. That's not the same white horse Brother Cozart was talking about last night. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Let me go back to Revelation chapter 13 and in verse 4. And it says, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He is going to have such a great power over military that people will view him as a foe that cannot be defeated by ordinary means. Who was able to make war with him? In Revelation 17 and in verses 1 through verse 18, and I'm not going to take the time to read all of that, but notice, if you would, several things here that are mentioned in Revelation in chapter 17, especially verse 13, as it speaks about the different kings of the earth. It says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, do not be deceived by people that would have you to believe that all the kingdoms of the earth are working at odds with each other. So this getting closer and closer, and it's coming. One day they're going to all give their power and authority to the beast. When you look in verse 17, I remind you again that God is still in control. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree. Now, nobody but God can make the kings of this earth agree. But God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. He's going to control the commerce. He's going to control religion. Everyone's going to worship Him. He's going to control the military. He's going to control the governments. What Nimrod sought to do, Antichrist will do. And Antichrist is going to fulfill the aim of the United Nations, a one world government. That's when it will be realized, when He is revealed. That's one reason I think we need to oppose some things that are going on in our day now. Let me mention something else to you. Revelation 19. I want to point this out. As surely as there is a holy Trinity, there is an unholy Trinity. And as surely as the first is literal, so is the second. In the first, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 19 and in verse 20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. The beast and the false prophet. In chapter 20 of Revelation and in verse 10 is the third one, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. There is an unholy Trinity. Satan, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And they're real. You can rest assured they're real. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and in verse 43, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. But he told them, he told those Jews, another is coming in his own name. And him you will receive. Brother Justice.